This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulullah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. So we just finished Arafah. And Arafah, we said we stay there until the sun sets. After the sun sets, then we depart from Arafah and we go to Muzdalifah. We go to Muzdalifah. I saw that CT Council tweet. And you guys put out the gem before we covered it. Like you looked in the notes or something. It's kind of funny. It was all good. So we're using hashtag sweetness of Hajj. I haven't had a chance to search it yet. Is it active? You guys are posting your gems? Good. Alhamdulillah. All right. So we leave from Arafah and we go to Muzdalifah. It was actually interesting because the Prophet ﷺ, you know, the Sahaba are waiting for the Prophet of Allah to go and then they follow the Prophet ﷺ, right? So the Prophet ﷺ was waiting though. After the sun set, he was on his camel and he was waiting. And waiting, and the Sahaba are waiting, and they want to go, and they're not going, they're waiting. So it kind of got to the point where people are like, you know, they're kind of getting a little restless. And the Prophet ﷺ was waiting until Usama ibn Zayd came. When Usama ibn Zayd came, he rode on the back of the ride of the Messenger of Allah ﷺ and rode with him to Muzdalifah. And Usama ibn Zayd was a young man, he was around 16, 17 years old, and he was very loved to the Messenger of Allah ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ even told Aisha that you know, إِنِّي أُحِبُّهُ فَأَحَبِّهِ. I most definitely love Usama, so you also love Usama. Usama was a very special man to the Messenger of Allah ﷺ, and he was like 16, 17 years old. So subhanAllah, if your bus gets delayed on leaving Arafah, know that the Messenger of Allah and all of the Sahaba were also delayed. They all waited until Usama ibn Zayd came. رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ وَأَرْضَاهُ. And then look at the level of Usama, a young man. And look at the Messenger of Allah ﷺ spending time. Out of all the Sahaba, 100,000 Hujjaj, Muslims went with the Messenger of Allah for Hajj that year. 100,000 plus. And the Prophet ﷺ chose Usama ibn Zayd to ride with him to go. A 16, 17-year-old young man to ride with him to Muzdalifah. And so as he was going, the appropriate way, now obviously if you're going on your bus, you're going on your bus. But if you're walking, then the Prophet ﷺ, he would tell the people, أَيُّهَا النَّاسَ as-sakina, as-sakina. You know, take it easy, go with tranquility, like don't go too fast. So the Prophet ﷺ went kind of at a moderate pace. And then the narration says that when there was some space in front of him, he would hasten the pace a little bit. When there was some space in front of him, he would hasten the pace a little bit. And so the edge of Arafah, so depending where you are in Arafah, if you get to the edge of Arafah, the boundary of Arafah, to the start of Muzdalifah, that's about approximately 4 miles away. It's approximately 4 miles away. So if you're looking to walk, you can. But just be aware, it's about 4 miles to get to the edge of Muzdalifah. And once you get to Muzdalifah, what do you do there? Let's go over some fiqh. Number one, we said that you do not pray Maghrib and Isha in Arafah. You pray in Muzdalifah. So the sun sets in Arafah, and then you leave, and you pray Maghrib and Isha in Muzdalifah. Okay? Now, what's the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah? If you want to get the exact sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, this is what he did. When he arrived in Muzdalifah, he had one adhan called, and then the iqamah was called, and they prayed Salat al-Maghrib. So the belongings, their bedding, and all that stuff, they didn't take down yet. They didn't set up the bed or anything. They reached Muzdalifah, they got where they wanted to go, one adhan was called, iqamah was called, and they prayed Salat al-Maghrib. After praying Salat al-Maghrib, then the Sahaba took down their belongings from their rides and whatnot, set up their beds and that kind of stuff. Maybe 10 minutes or so. And then another iqamah only was called. So one adhan to begin, one iqamah for Maghrib, and then one iqamah for Isha, and they prayed two rak'ah Salat al-Isha. So whoever wants to like follow the sunnah to the T, if you're going on your own, what you can do if you're walking, what he did, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, prayed Maghrib, then put down his bedding, and then prayed Salat al-Isha. Okay? And so what if the issue comes? So you're on the way to Muzdalifah. Like when I first went to Hajj, the first time I went, I hadn't eaten much. Like I kind of went, I undercut it a little too much. So by the time, and I was exhausted by after Arafah. So when I sat on the bus, I just passed out. I just completely passed out, knocked out. And so when I woke up, the bus wasn't moving. It wasn't moving. We're waiting. It's not moving. And finally we're like, all right, we need to pray Maghrib and Isha. What's the ruling? If your bus is stuck and you need to pray Maghrib and Isha, what do you do? So what you do is you look at when is midnight. And how do we calculate midnight in Islamic terms? Exactly. Halfway between Maghrib and Salat al-Fajr. Halfway between Salat al-Maghrib and Salat al-Fajr, that's midnight. If midnight is going to come and you have not yet reached Muzdalifah, then you should pray where you are. Get off the bus and you pray where you are. Okay, now ideally if your bus is stopped in traffic, it's easier to get off, right? The problem is that if the bus rider is not letting you get off, they're delayed, the traffic is too heavy, but they're not letting you get off. Then you would have to pray on the bus, but standing is a pillar of the salah, so if you're able to get off the bus and pray, you pray. So you pray wherever you are. The sunnah, of course, is to pray Maghrib and Isha in Muzdalifah. Okay? If you do that, if you pray Maghrib and Isha and you don't reach Muzdalifah, is a fidya required of you? Is a sacrifice required of you? No. The answer is no. But if you miss Muzdalifah altogether, if you don't get there before Salat al-Fajr, then according to the majority opinion, spending the night in Muzdalifah is wajib. It's a requirement. And so if you miss it, you have to pay kafara. You have to pay the fidya. Okay, now some, a very minor opinion holds that it is actually rukn, a pillar of Hajj. And what do we say a pillar of Hajj means? If you don't do it, you miss all of Hajj. It's invalidated. It's a very minor opinion though. The overwhelming majority of scholars hold that Muzdalifah is wajib, and therefore if you miss it, meaning not miss prayer there, but if you miss spending the night there before Salat al-Fajr, if you don't get there before Salat al-Fajr, then it's required of you to pay a fidya. Okay? Now, the Prophet ﷺ gave permission for the elderly, for the women, for the children, for those who are weak, to leave Muzdalifah early. What are you supposed to do when you go to Muzdalifah? You spend the night there and you pray Salat al-Fajr there in Muzdalifah, so Maghrib and Isha, then you sleep. And what did the Prophet ﷺ do, by the way? He prayed Maghrib, he didn't pray Sunnah. And he prayed Isha, and the scholars differ whether he prayed witr or not. There's a difference of opinion whether he prayed witr or not. Regardless, he immediately after that went to sleep. So the sunnah of Muzdalifah is to pray and then sleep right away. It's not to stay up and socialize or pray tahajjud or anything. It's to sleep because you have a long day ahead of you. The 10th of Dhul Hijjah is called Yawm al-Hajj al-Akbar. That's when you have four responsibilities on your shoulders. It's going to be a busy day. So what's ahead of you is a busy day, and therefore the sunnah is to sleep right after Salat al-Isha. So you pray Salat al-Isha, and then the Prophet ﷺ, he woke up and he prayed Salat al-Fajr right at the beginning of its time. Right when Salat al-Fajr came in, he prayed Salat al-Fajr. And then from that point on, he went to a place called Jabal Quzah. Jabal Quzah. It's within Muzdalifah, and some scholars hold that is what Allah ﷺ referred to in the Quran. فَإِذَا أَفَضْتُم مِّنْ عَرَفَاتٍ فَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ عِنْدَ الْمَشْعَرِ الْحَرَامِ. Remember Allah at Al-Mash'ar al-Haram. Some scholars say Muzdalifah as a whole is Mash'ar al-Haram. Others say no, specifically is Jabal Quzah, where the Messenger of Allah went after he prayed Salat al-Fajr. He stood there and he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He faced the Kaaba and he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until just before the sun rose. So if he prays Fajr right when it comes in and makes dua just until the sun rises, it's approximately, you can say roughly, an hour or so, give or take, of dua. Dua and dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at this point, you're still in the talbiyah, right? You're still making the talbiyah. You haven't stopped yet. The next step of Hajj is when you'll stop the talbiyah, but now you're still in talbiyah. So the Messenger of Allah, he went to Jabal Quzah and he prayed, he made dua there. So that's some of the fiqh. Let's go over some of the reflections on this step of Hajj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah number 2, verse 198, he says, as the verse we just mentioned, فَإِذَا أَفَضْتُم مِّنْ عَرَفَاتٍ فَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ عِنْدَ الْمَشْعَرِ الْحَرَامِ وَاذْكُرُوهُ كَمَا هَدَاكُمْ وَإِنْ كُنْتُمْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ لَمِنَ الضَّالِّينَ. Allah says that then when you leave Arafat, then remember Allah, make dhikr of Allah at the Mash'ar al-Haram. And again, the scholar says either all of Muzdalifah or specifically where the Messenger of Allah went after Salat al-Fajr. Wallahu a'lam. And Allah says, and remember him by invoking Allah for all good as he has guided you. وَذْكُرُوهُ كَمَا هَدَاكُمْ. That you're blessed to be a Muslim. That Allah guided you to Islam. Remember him for that favor. And then verily he says, before his guidance of you, you were amongst the dhalleen, those who were misguided, those who were astray. Then Allah says in the next verse, ثُمَّ أَفِيضُوا مِنْ حَيْثُ أَفَاضَ النَّاسِ وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ. استغفروا الله. Allah says, ثُمَّ أَفِيضُوا مِنْ حَيْثُ أَفَاضَ النَّاسِ. Then go forth where the people go forth from and make istighfar of Allah. Ask Allah for forgiveness, for indeed Allah is forgiving and most merciful. So we ask Allah to forgive us our sins. Allah then revealed this verse. Why? Because the people of Quraysh, they felt they were superior to everybody else. See, what do we say about the Arafah? Arafah is outside the boundary of the Haram. right? Muzdalifah is inside the haram. Arafah is outside the haram. So the Quraysh would say, it's not befitting of us to leave the boundaries of the haram. So they wouldn't go to Arafah. They would not go to Arafah. So Allah says, ثُمَّ أَفِيضُوا مِنْ حَيْثُ أَفَاضَ النَّاسِ. Go forth where the people go forth from. Some scholars say it means that when they leave Arafah, you also go forth with them, O Muslims. You don't have any of this nonsense of staying outside of Arafah and staying in Muzdalifah, right? You go forth where they go forth from, meaning you leave Arafah and go to Muzdalifah. And some scholars say it means when you leave Muzdalifah. Regardless, the Quraysh wouldn't go there. So again, we learn, you find a repetitive theme in Hajj, which is that of humility. The Quraysh, though they were too arrogant to leave and go to the Haram, go outside of the Haram to Arafah, Allah's teaching us humility. Like, go with the people where they go. Right? And then Allah says, wastaghfirullah. Now this is interesting because we just left from Arafah. We just left from a place where the sins are forgiven. Why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling the people, leave from Arafah and make istighfar when you just had your sins forgiven? Again, number one, it teaches us humility to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We never know if our deeds were accepted. We don't know if we were amongst those who were accepted. And we always have this kind of awareness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we always have to ask Allah for forgiveness. Remember sweetness of salah? Those of you who were there, we at the end of class, we counted 13 different ways in which salah wipes away all your sins. And then what's the first thing we say after salah is over? We say astaghfirullah 3 times. We ask Allah for forgiveness. And subhanAllah, similarly, we leave Arafat, all our sins are forgiven, inshaAllah ta'ala, and then Allah says, wastaghfirullah, and ask Allah for forgiveness. So you may have had deficiencies and you don't know if it was accepted. It shows humility to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also realize that shaytan, you know, we said the hadith, that the Prophet said, shaytan feels, there's no day more than the day of Arafat, other than the day of Battle of Badr, in which shaytan feels so belittled, humiliated, angry as the day of Arafat. So realize that as soon as you leave Arafah, he's ready to attack you, to make you fall into sin. And you'll see people, after leaving Arafah, they're getting into arguments, they're cursing, and they fall right back into sin. Don't do that. Beware, right? لَبَّيْكَ اللَّهُمَّ لَبَّيْكَ. Keep saying the talbiyah. You're done with Arafah, back to the talbiyah. Keep your eyes on the prize, focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, focus on going to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You've cleansed yourself. Right, we talked about spiritually cleansing yourself to go to the house of Allah. So keep yourself spiritually clean and pure. And go to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So realize again, and this is for the hujjaj and the non-hujjaj. The shaytan is waiting for you at every corner. Every corner he's waiting for you to get you. Beware of his plan. Now, Muzdalifah comes from the word izdilaf, which means to draw close. To draw close. What does that mean, draw close? What's the context? How do we understand that, to draw close? We see Arafah is the furthest mansak from the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You remember the map I showed you guys? Arafah is the furthest mansak, right? So now you're drawing closer to where? What's the goal of Hajj? To go back to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you're drawing closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and as you're physically drawing closer to the house of Allah, spiritually you're hoping you're also drawing closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and raising in rank. Right? So you're drawing closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in the journey you're hoping that you're drawing close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well with your heart. And subhanAllah, what do you do in Muzdalifah? You put your bed out and you sleep. This is the world's biggest sleepover party. 5 million people just laid out in the open desert. It's awesome. SubhanAllah, the simplicity of it, the beauty of it. You know, it's hard to even find a spot. You're walking and there's people just set up everywhere. Just sleeping. This huge slumber party, right? Except you're supposed to go to sleep. It's not the one you stay awake all night and party, right? You go to sleep. But subhanAllah, It's amazing. You see the people there, and you and it makes you reflect on what? That, again, simplicity. Right? SubhanAllah, look at the stages of Hajj that you go through. You start with a 5-star hotel, right? Mecca, Medina, wherever you are. And then you end up going to Mina. Or maybe you go to Aziziyah. Aziziyah is another city that people go to now. The Hajj group save money. It's a cheaper hotel. It's kind of a ghetto hotel. Right? So maybe it goes from like a 5-star to like a 2-star. Right, so you go from like mashallah to yani, and then from that you go to Mina, just tents, right? And then from Mina you go to Muzdalifah, not just tents, and now you're what? You're in the sand, nothing. There's nothing there. It's just, if you have a sleeping bag, great. If you don't, sleep on the sand, sleep on the rocks. Right? Everybody's doing that. SubhanAllah, the rich, the poor, the governor, the governed, everybody's the same. They're all in the same spot. And it teaches us, one of the lessons that Hajj is supposed to teach us is to become less attached to this world. Right? Less attached to this world. And if you can deal with this kind of stuff, then Allah is preparing you for dealing with all kinds of situations in your life. right? You have a good with a five-star hotel, and you have a rough in Muzdalifah. And you have it in between in Mina, and you have it in between in Aziziyah. You have different stages. And if you're dealing with the whole time and all these stages, you're saying labbaik Allahumma labbaik, and you're focused on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this teaches you when you leave Hajj to do the same in your life. Things may not always go according to plan. You may have different tests and different things. And the whole time your eyes should be on the prize, focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there you pray Salat al-Fajr, right? And then we said after Fajr, Prophet went to Jabal Quzah and he made dua and dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and talbiyah until the sun almost rose. And the Prophet then left Muzdalifah before the sun actually rose. So the sunnah is you leave Muzdalifah before the sun rises. Now here in Muzdalifah is where you can collect your pebbles for the jamarat. How many pebbles do you need? How many pebbles do you need for the jamarat? How many do at each one? We do 7 at each one, right? So this is what happens. On the first day, meaning the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, you only stone jamaratul aqaba, the big jamara. So you only need how many stones? 7, okay? And then the 11th of Dhul Hijjah, ayyam al-tashriq, the 11th, 12th, and 13th, you do all 3 jamaras, all 3 basins where you have to stone, right? And each one requires 7. So you collect, at minimum, you collect 49, right? If you're leaving on the 12th of Dhul Hijjah from Mina, then you need 49. If you're staying till the 13th, which we'll talk about in the next session, all this stuff will be a little more clear, you'll need 70. You'll need an additional 21, okay? So here or on the way to, you know, when you leave Muzdalifah on the way to Mina, you can collect your pebbles there, okay? And then, subhanAllah, it's remarkable when you walk especially, it's amazing. You're walking with people from all walks of life, all corners of the globe. I remember, subhanAllah, when I was going, the first time I went to Hajj, you know, I had sandals and I saw, you see different sights, subhanAllah. And one of the things that was remarkable is you see these old men walking without any shoes at all. And when you're walking from Muzdalifah to Mina, you'll see a lot of trash, unfortunately, a lot of trash. And so I saw this old man without any sandals, so I wanted the ajr, right? So I was like, I'm going to give him my sandals and I get the ajr, you know what I'm saying? I'll walk on bare feet. So I go to him, I just look at his feet, so I see no sandals, I go, and so I think he was, I don't know where he's from, but I think he was from like Russia or the Caucasus or somewhere in that region. So we tried to communicate with one another the way that we could. So I signaled to his feet, I signaled to my feet, I took off my sandals, and so he understood. And he said something, what I understood was ajr, that's all I understood. So my understanding was, he was asking me, do you want the ajr? And I said, yeah. He said, I want you to have, and he's an older man, you know, he's got white hair and stuff. I said, take the sandals, and I'll walk barefoot. But subhanAllah, I just saw that he wasn't wearing sandals. I didn't look at the size of his feet. So the brother, he takes the sandals and he puts his feet in it. And so the sandal has like the top part has like this little, you know, it's like wrapped. He could barely fit his foot in there. His feet were huge, mashallah. But he wanted to give me the ajr, although I probably made it more hard on him. And he put his foot in there and he started walking like this. And I said, La hawla wa quwwata illa billah, what did I do? But subhanAllah, the spirit of the Hujjaj is remarkable. You know, that everybody's looking for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's like, you know what? He's thinking in his mind, I'll make it a little harder on myself, so you get the ajr inshallah. And I hope inshallah I didn't get any sins. Get the ajr instead. But you see a lot of amazing things when you walk. You know, if you can walk, it's nice. The only thing is if you're going to walk, you're walking back to Mina, you're walking back to your tents, right? You need to know where your tent is, okay? Or else there'll be trouble. Right, and the people who are there, like the government officials, whoever, who are there, they don't know the maps. Unfortunately, that's what they need to teach them, but they don't teach them that. So they can't give you direction. You got to look at those maps posted in certain places. And you have to try and figure it out. And oftentimes, you kind of figure out the long bootleg route to get back to your tent instead of the nice direct route. Okay, so that wraps up Muzdalifah. We'll go ahead and continue, inshallah, with the next session with the Yawm al-Nahar, the 10th day of Dhul Hijjah, Yawm al-Hajj al-Akbar. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.